Blasting off on CommieTalesHill.com, Andy Pondillo alongside Greg Thurston, part of the Fansided Network, as we come down the final two-week stretch of the Houston Astros season. You know, it's been a lot of ups and downs, a lot of roller coaster rides. There's been stretches of George Springer, Chris Carter, the pitching. The starting pitching has been the most consistent element of the team thus far through the season. And once again, the Astros riding that starting pitching, playing the spoiler role, winning series since we last joined you over the Angels, over the A's, over the Mariners. And then the Astros won 1 out of 3 versus the Angels, though, snapping a 10-game winning streak from the best team in baseball. And, Greg, you know, we've talked about it a lot with what do we need to look forward to next year? What type of image does this team leave the season with after this season? I think that with the pitching they've put together and the pitching on the way, it's at least a start to try and get this team to respectability next season.
Definitely, Andy. The pitching has been superb, and some of the hitting has come around with getting what we hope isn't just career years from a couple guys in Altuve and Carter. So it'll really be interesting to see how many of these guys, including those two and a couple of the pitchers, Keuchel and McHugh, if they can really keep this up. It's going to be tough for those guys to maintain what they've done this year because they've been so outstanding. So it'll be interesting.
And when you see the Astros winning these series, they're not only winning them versus anybody out there, they're winning them against tough division opponents in the American League West. You know, last season we've seen them struggle mightily against teams like the Athletics, like the Rangers. Had just really a horrible record in the division. So this season, while they haven't been a winning team, I feel like they fared very well within the division. We saw earlier in the year they handled the Mariners pretty well. They put runs up against King Felix each time that he went out there. And, you know, you've seen them take another series from those Mariners. We've seen them take a couple series now from the A's, making the adjustments versus the Athletics, a team that owned the Astros at the beginning of the year. It looked like it was just going to be one of those romps where you play 17, 18, 19 games and you hope to win 4 of them. But the Astros have shown they've been tough opponents for everybody in the division. I think that if there's any one surprise this season, I think it's how they fared in divisional play. And if they can make those pieces fit, if they can fix some of those holes, you have to feel like if they're able to duplicate that effort next season, it gives them a lot better chance to push closer to 500.
Right. I mean, it really has been impressive the way they have handled these teams that you spoke of, the Angels, A's, and Mariners here down the stretch in this latest hot streak. Especially the Angels, you know, if you look at the Angels, their last 19 games now, they've lost 3, and all 3 of those losses came against the Astros. So without George Springer, one of our best offensive players, and with Chad Qualls pretty much on the shelf too, you know, we're missing a couple of key guys here and still getting the job done. So it's definitely been impressive. They've shown a tremendous amount of improvement, a lot more than I gave them credit for, as I have gone on the record early and often saying that I thought they would lose over 100 games, and you know, I'm here to admit my mistake and to give them credit where credit is due. They've been playing great.
It's been a very different year, and I can't remember one Astros year quite like this, where we've seen the Astros have these different eras of the season, if you will. I mean, you saw the beginning of the year, it looked like 100 losses again in April. You saw in May, they picked it up a little bit, but they didn't really start blowing your mind away until Springer got going towards the end of the month. They got into a little bit of contention through June. You feel like July, August, I guess they weren't as bad as we've seen years past, but they definitely weren't good. You're starting to get that feeling again. It felt kind of similar to that, you know, we're out of it. What does it matter anymore? Is this development worth it? And then the one thing I wanted to keep looking to is how do they finish this year? Is there an in-between where they're really bad, when they're really good? And then they've kind of turned it up again to where they were playing at that level between the end of May into June. You're starting to see that again. It's all with the starting pitching. It's actually amazing to me that this team has managed to win 66 games to the point we're recording here Sunday evening with the offense they've run out. Because an extreme top-heavy offense, Fowler, Altuve, Carter had having tremendous years. Springer had a very solid rookie season before his injury. This lineup on paper should be the worst team in the American League outside of those top heavy hitters, and yet they've still found a way to do it. That to me shows that they've got some good team chemistry. That to me shows that they have built that nucleus that's going to help them win some more games as they start to acquire other players. I really think this offseason right now, coming up for 2015, and I know the season's not over yet, maybe too soon to even look there, but this offseason might be the most pivotal offseason for the Astros in quite some time.
Right. Well, those guys, you know, have really contributed to the point to where, yeah, they've carried the team. And even though the team isn't top to bottom lineup wise as good as most teams that have won 70 or more games, you know, they're getting it done, like you said, with the starting pitching. And you know, all teams go through these streaky periods like the Astros have had, like you talked about. You know, we're looking at the A's right now are in a real down slump. The Angels have had their troubles this year, and now they're just unstoppable. So, you know, all the teams go through these ups and downs. But one thing that I have seen with the Astros that I'm very proud of is the consistent effort. You see these guys going out there giving 100% every day, and that's what makes it encouraging for the upcoming season.
And it's definitely one of those things that I feel like was instilled back to the Bo Porter days and now to the Lawless days. I mean, how much credit do you give Lawless? Did he just come in at the right time? Or do you start to believe, Greg, that maybe there was something to this Porter firing? Maybe it loosened the guys up a little bit going down the stretch run and playing the spoiler role?
Well, I think the guys have loosened up a little bit, definitely, and maybe Porter was a little more heavy-handed than we thought. As far as Lawless, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Maybe he kind of came in at a good time. I'm not going to give him a lot of credit for the team winning as many games as they have lately. I mean, I think they had already started to turn the corner before he got here. But at the same time, I would still like to see him considered as a candidate going forward. You know, I mean, let him go through the interview process just like everyone else and see how he does. Cause obviously he's, you know, we're going to get some feedback from the players and some of the other coaches on how they feel about him. So I'd like to see him be part of the process as far as going forward, you know, being considered for the job, but, you know, I'm not ready to just go all in and say Tom Lawless is the guy.
Well, guy to add to his mix, and that was Nick Trupiano. We see him come up finally. A lot of people waiting all year for him. He goes to five innings, gives up a couple runs versus Seattle. An Ed Wade guy getting a shot. How about that? One thing we talk about Ed Wade guys, a little slower to get chances sometimes than the Jeff Luhnow guys. Kind of curious where he fits in next season with the pitching staff. Look like it's going to be very clustered next year. It's going to be hard to get a slot in that rotation. I think Trupiano is going to make his bid the end of this season through spring training next year to try and take Brad Peacock's role in the starting rotation.
Right. Well, he's getting a shot. They're giving him a look. Peacock has gone down with a sore back. They're going to skip him Monday, and that means Trupiano might wind up getting one extra start out of this deal, and you know, they want to get a look at him and see what he can do, and it just remains to be seen. Maybe somebody else gets traded, you know, and maybe Trupiano does get his shot.
It's going to be interesting to see how they play it all out with all these pitchers and Folty next year on in the bullpen. I don't know if he stays a reliever, if he enters that starting rotation. You know, Jeff Luhnow is going to have a lot of toys, a lot of different pitchers that he can slot in and out. And I think it's a good thing to have these pitchers, guys that could be in the bullpen as well. I feel like Trupiano fits that type of build where if you needed to put him in the pen for next season. You need to bring him up to the rotation, bring him back in, kind of mix and match. I feel like he and Folty provide leverage. Very good throwers. Folty, an extreme hard thrower. And you talk about trying to fix this bullpen, maybe not making a deal, and maybe having an excess amount of starters on your major league lineup, and be able to do what you want with them. That might be the way to fix the bullpen. We've seen the Cardinals do it. We've seen the Rays do it. We've seen a couple other teams use that to their advantage, and it really saves your pitchers some innings as well in the meanwhile.
Right, yeah, you've talked a lot on the podcast about how the Cardinals have used that strategy before, and I think it's a really sound strategy, and especially considering the luck we've had with signing veteran free agent relievers for the last several years, even
It,
going
and
back to Ed
yeah, I
Waite.
know that goes back to the Ed Waite era, maybe even before.
Yeah, so I'm all for it. Guys like Foltynewicz and Tropiano cutting their teeth in the bullpen, and then if they prove that they are ready to move up to starting, and then we've got hopefully more guys. The train just keeps on moving, and we're bringing more guys up to fill the roles that they leave. Then we're in good shape. So.
Not to mention Peacock, who obviously at times has struggled in that starting role. He has a good arm for the pen as well. There's a lot of strong arms on this team, and that means, maybe not necessarily ready to start. Maybe you have too many starters. That's a good problem to have in having too many arms. So I think they can make that work if they're maybe a little reluctant to go get a relief pitcher for $3 million or trade for relief pitchers or draft for relief pitchers. I think some of it is right there in front of them to where they might not have to make as many moves as maybe initially anticipated to try and fix the bullpen once again. It seems like that's a theme once we hit the end of the year into the next offseason. It comes up, and we had it up on the podcast last year. How do we fix the bullpen? Well, the strategy didn't work by getting Jesse Crane and Albers, so it'll be interesting to see how Luno plays that out. I just imagine with all those arms, you can't go wrong by putting a couple of them in there to try and learn how to pitch a little bit more. Now, as we wrap up this segment, they also got to look at what are you going to do with the offense in the offseason? I don't know if it's quite the class of free agents you're looking for, but, Greg, I don't know if you go through trade. I don't know if you go through free agency. I feel like one more on base guy, maybe a middle of the order guy, a 19 home run guy, an 18 home run guy, 70 RBI. Somehow they have to figure out how to acquire that middle of the order hitter with Singleton, with Springer. They obviously factor in the middle of the order, Carter, and then you're going to have some holes at third base, shortstop. You'd think that maybe Jeff Luhnow looks for more of a stopgap type player. I don't know if you're giving up the whole farm for it. It has to make sense. But I just feel like he has to do something to this lineup next year. They don't need a lot, but just a little bit of a push, I think, could send these young players a long way.
Right. Well, it was looking like, for the better part of the season, especially when Fowler was out, that our outfield was really the weakness. But if we keep Fowler and we don't trade him, and we've got Springer alongside on one side, and well, it kind of looks like we want to go with Mariznick on the other side, then I think we're
Yeah.
still one outfielder short. I'm not
You're going
really
to be
sold on
very
Mariznick.
short on power.
Yeah, I'm not really sold on Mariznick yet. I and Grossman, he's more of a fourth outfielder, pinch hitter type, more of a National League Orlando Palmeiro type guy to me. A guy who can come in and pinch hit, see 12 pitches in an at bat and get on base. But I think we still need one more outfielder. I know Mariznick has he's one of these guys where he's proven everything he needs to prove at Triple A, but to me he hasn't really blossomed into the kind of a hitter that I would want to see.
He's a fourth outfielder as well to me. He seems like a
Yeah.
National League guy just from the right side.
Right. And then the third base spot, we're just not getting the offense we need from Dominguez.
I feel
I
like
think.
that's the biggest spot moving forward is the third base position because it's almost to the point you're getting nothing out of it.
Right. And Colin Moran is not going to be ready, so if we were going to go with adding a player, I think that would be the spot to go. One more corner outfielder, one third baseman, And I'd like to see some kind of a contact hitter. We got so many strikeout guys, you know. I know there's not too many Jose Altuves out there, but you know, I'd like to see another hitter in that vein who you know, is just up there making contact that can make things happen.
I feel like with the resources Luno has too, that he can acquire one of those guys. It doesn't even have to be, you know, a staple guy that's driving in all the home runs. In the ideal world, I'd like to add some power to the corner outfield position. But in a realistic world, I like to just add a guy that gets on base at a 335 to 350 clip. He doesn't even have to hit for a high average. Doesn't have to run well. Just a guy that can move runners. I feel like the Astros' problem throughout the season a lot of times is, how do they move runners when they're not hitting home runs or they're not banging doubles into the corner? How are they able to get a guy from second to third? How are they able to win a 2-1 game? That's got to be the challenge next season for the Astros. The next step they have to take is, how do they construct an offense that not only is going to be third, fourth in the league in home runs, but an offense that can score 2 runs when they need 2 runs, an offense that can score 3 runs when they need 3 runs. They don't have that right now, but I do believe they already have the core in place, which is actually the hard part usually. So now the easy part is, how do you fill the team with the right players via the trade, via the free agency?
Right, we got the hard part covered, like you said, with a lot of the power. We're way up there in home runs, but our run production overall, run scored, we're towards the bottom of the league. You mentioned the shortstop position. I mean, to me, that's a defensive position. I'm not sure we're going to, you know, find a guy who's going to bring a lot of offense there. And I'm pretty happy with what the guys have done defensively, the guys that we have in Petit and Marwin. You know, catcher is another position where generally you want a defensive player there. But I think, you know, we might be able to get some of that production back from Castro if he was able to get back to where he was last year. You know,
Castro's been a disappointment, but I also think if you put him in the right situation, his numbers don't look as bad. If he's batting 6th or 7th, hitting 235 and hitting 17 home runs, it doesn't look quite as bad as the role they've been trying to put him in the last 2 seasons.
Right, and once we get Springer back in the middle of the lineup, and if Singleton can make some adjustments, then, you know, maybe he fits in there at the 6th spot, and we can move Castro down, and, you know, maybe we can flirt with 500. I don't know.
I think it's very possible with the right moves, and the right moves require spending money. Spending money requires a new TV deal, and hey, there's some good stuff going on. Root Sports Houston, hey, maybe it could happen. Maybe the offseason could be a fun one. But we do have a few more weeks to go before we get to postseason play. And that means we have some more Astros talk here in the next segment. Greg Thurston, I'm Andy Pondillo. We'll be right back. It's Blasting Off on CommentalsHill.com. Blasting off on CommentalsHill.com, Andy Pondillo alongside Greg Thurston. The Astros in the American League left West 9 games ahead of the Rangers as we record on this Sunday evening. Basically have cemented themselves into that 4th position, 66-83, a losing season, 443 winning percentage. But the taste of the season, I feel like, has taken a gigantic turn for the better through September, and that's good because a lot of times people remember the season based on, you know, maybe what you did at the beginning, maybe what you did at the end, and losing 15 straight to end of the season last year is definitely not the way the Astros wanted to go out. So finishing strong like this, playing that spoiler role, they're going to get to continue to do that now with Cleveland coming into Houston, just kind of hanging on to, I guess, a bit of a fringe of a playoff hope as they find themselves 5 games behind the Kansas City Royals in that Central Division. So should be more fun. The Astros have an opportunity here to possibly put the Indians out of playoff contention if they take 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 4.
Yeah, it really has been a pleasant surprise that the way the team's been playing lately. And, you know, I mean, I was so worried that, boy, it's just going to end like it did last year and everyone's going to be bummed out. And, you know, exactly the opposite has happened. And Cleveland will be a fun series. It's a four gamer, so I think it's a four gamer with Cleveland, right?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah, and so that'll be a hard one to win, you know, because those guys, like you say, they have a lot to play for. They can't afford to lose any games down the stretch, and
no, they literally can't afford to lose. They're kind of in that spot where the Astros were in 2004, where they just had to really reel off almost every game down the stretch.
Right, and if you remember last year, Cleveland was in the same position, and they did it. You know, they won. They finished with a huge winning streak at the end of the year. So, you know, they have that kind of on their side. You know, we've done this before. We can do it. So I think we're going to see some good baseball coming up this week in Minute Maid Park, and hopefully the Astros can do some damage, take two or three of those games.
And this is big for these young players. I like this. I really like the way they've handled this. I like the way Lawless has handled it, just getting these guys up for these games and, you know, kind of keeping it loose over these. These are big games for young players. You're going back to Minute Maid Park, where it's going to be more of that spring training atmosphere. But, you know, at the Angels, you had the packed houses. At the Mariners and A's, you had two teams fighting for playoff contention. You don't ever want to be the spoiler, especially if you're a good team. That's not something I think any professional athlete wants to do or strives to do. But as a young player at this organization, this team, to play games that have an impact, I feel like the Astros are getting up a little bit more than they were probably a month ago for these games. It doesn't mean they weren't trying, but I think mentally it's just a different type of mental state. I think this is a good opportunity for these young players to prove that they can compete at the highest level. They can compete with these all-star players that are trying to find a way in a postseason play. And I really hope that it gives them that push into winter ball, into spring training, into next season to try and find their best stuff, to kind of have that mentality that, hey, this is where we could be. You know, I don't think any of us realistically think next year, but as an athlete, you always think that next year could be better and that you could be in that type of position. So I hope that they see that right now and they see the opportunity they could seize now and maybe later once they're on the flip side of this scenario.
Right. And these guys, you know, it could have gone either way when the change was made and Bo Porter was fired. You know, we heard a lot of guys come out and say, Scott Feldman, for example, was one guy that said, boy, he's really shocked to see Bo Porter go, that Porter did so many things for him. And you know, it could have turned either direction. It could have very easily gone downhill. But like you said, it seems like the guys are looser. You know, they've got a reason to play. And they're coming out and giving it 100% effort every time out there. And this time of year especially, that is really great to see, because you see so many teams this time of year that coming down the stretch, they just go out there and they're kind of going through the motions. You know, you're going to see somebody get a no-hitter on the last day of the season here, you know, the last couple of days. You know, that kind of thing happens more than you think when these guys are just kind of going through the motions. And it's nice to see that this team really does want to impress and is playing as hard as they are.
It has been nice to see. And if we have a title, hey, this could be a fun game. You know, if you were to put a title right now as the Astros end the season, you do your season recap article at climbingtowelshill.com. I already know you're working on it, Greg. My title of the season would probably be "The Season That Chris Carter Saved." Would that be fair?
I think it would be fair because he did save his own season, which appeared to be going horribly wrong early on. But at the same time, you know, we don't want to leave Jose Altuve out of that title also. I mean, you got to have Jose Altuve's name in your title when you're talking about the Astros of 2014.
That is true, because Carter has to have somebody to knock in, and without Fowler for a lengthened period of time, Altuve might have been the only guy he had to knock in, with Robbie Grossman and Altuve at the top of the order. Altuve been as consistent as they get. So down the stretch, there's only four series left: Cleveland, Rangers, Mariners, Mets. Do you see the Astros able to win all of these series, some of these series, half of these series? How do you think they go out down the stretch here?
All right. Well, we've talked about the four-game series with Cleveland. That'll be tough because you got to win three to win the series. So that'll be a tough one. Seattle might be a tough one as well. The other two, especially the Mets, I think we've got a good chance of winning those. It's the Rangers are on that list.
Awful. Too. Yes.
Yeah. Even though the Rangers, they just finished a sweep of the Braves, three-game sweep. Or was it?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Three-game sweep of the Braves. They beat them real bad Sunday. A couple of one-run games before that. But no, I can see us, you know, continuing to dominate the Rangers as we have over the last few months. And yeah, when we go into New York to finish out the season, I can see those guys rolling over for us pretty easy.
And I'm not even going to try to understand what is wrong with the Atlanta Braves. They're definitely not going to be on the postseason version of blasting off this year once we transform the show into that postseason show. And I think that'll be a lot of fun. But first, we do have to close out the year, and the Astros can have a say of who makes it, who doesn't make it. That Mariners series is the one to really highlight on your calendars right here. It could mean everything for the Mariners right now as they try and hold on to one of those wild card positions. A lot of teams bunched up in the American League. Going to be a really fun race down the stretch. And, you know, just getting off the Astros, Greg, do you have any teams in the American League you're really looking at down the stretch these final 2 weeks that are going to stand out, going to put it together and grab a hold of those playoff positions?
Boy, it's a really tough call, you know. Like you said, the Mariners are going to be in it. They've got such tremendous starting rotation. They've got a pretty good bullpen. Their hitting has been fairly solid. So they're a team to watch, definitely. And, you know, I expect Detroit to pull away at some point from Kansas City, but Kansas City and possibly even Cleveland, you know, are possibilities in that wild card. And the Oakland A's, I mean, there's a team that we really need to keep an eye on because all of a sudden they are almost on the outside looking in at this point.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting because the Oakland A's were the team that made a run on the Texas Rangers a couple years ago where the Rangers were in a similar situation and lost it all. So you look at Seattle, you look at Kansas City, and you know, I'll say one thing. I don't know if the Royals are going to get in, if they're going to win the division, if they're going to get into the one-game wild card playoff, but if this team gets to the postseason, mark it down. They're as good as any team in the American League when it comes to a playoff team. Well-balanced through the offense. Not a lot of power, but balance. They got a great starting rotation. James Shields, a horse at the top. I really like the Royals going into postseason play, and I don't know if a lot of the national media is going to know exactly who these guys are, but I feel like they will if they can make it. And then obviously the Angels, the favorite now, best team in baseball. You got to look for them to do some damage in the postseason. Something about having Albert Pujols and the best player in all of baseball, Mike Trout, would definitely keep you in any game. They're the type of team, again, that could win 13-12, or they could win 3-2 because they just have the dynamic type of team that's able to win in different fashions. I think it's going to be fun. I'll be interested to see who gets left out looking in. I definitely am with you on that one, Greg. I think it could be the A's the way they're trending. These other teams are playing too well. The A's are going to have to play better than 500 ball down the stretch to be able to get that wild card position.
Yeah, they've definitely got to snap out of it and get back to where they were earlier in the season. Or, like you say, these teams like Kansas City and Seattle are primed for a strong finish. So, yeah, Oakland could be in trouble.
And don't forget about Toronto and the Yankees. I know it's a far stretch, but I look at those teams. They're veteran teams, and those are the type of teams that could reel off an 8 or 9 in a row here out of nowhere and find themselves right in that hunt along with Kansas City and in Oakland. Probably not, but as we've seen with these wild card races time and time again, I always feel like there's one team that's just, you know, a couple games from being eliminated, and then all of a sudden they find themselves right in the middle of the hunt making up 4 or 5 games in a matter of a week. We've seen it so many times in baseball. Don't forget about all the teams in a race. It should be a lot of fun as we head down the stretch. And down the stretch we go, headed to segment three, Greg. I appreciate it once again. A great podcast. Got to get to my final take here.
Right. One last quick word. You mentioned the Blue Jays. I just pulled up their schedule, and I mean, they really do control their own destiny, so to speak, to use a football term. I mean, they're playing the Orioles for three, the Yankees for three, sorry, four. Then they play Seattle for four, and the Orioles for three more. So, if they do get in, they're going to earn it.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to go through a tough schedule.
Yeah.
Baltimore without their guy Chris Davis, so a little,
Right.
I guess about 20 home runs subtracted from the Baltimore lineup as they'll face him.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it once again, Greg, and we'll catch up again next week.
Right. Thanks a lot, Andy. Love your show.
No problem. We'll be right back. Blasting off climbingtalisman.com, part of the Fansided Network. Blasting off on climbingtalisman.com, Andy Pondel here with my final take to wrap up the program. As you know, baseball coming to an end in just a couple of weeks. The pennant races are hot, and I think the best time of year for baseball, preluding the playoffs that are upcoming. You got so many teams in on this thing. NL Central, AL West, the double wild cards. It's going to be a lot of fun, especially when you have that last game that's going to determine who gets the final positions in each league. A couple of teams starting to show that they are kings at their division. You got the Washington Nationals, Angels clinching. And it's just going to be, or Orioles, it's going to be a lot of fun to see how these teams hold up, because I don't know if a lot of people thought the Orioles were going to run away with it. A lot of people thought the Angels were going to run away with it. And a lot of good storylines all around this year in Major League Baseball. But nonetheless, the mainstream media will lead you to think different. They're going to tell you that baseball is a dying sport, that baseball can't get youngsters interested, that baseball's done a horrible job of marketing itself. And, I find that some of that is valid. There is a marketing issue, and with the new commissioner, I think that's going to be one of the first things they have to look at correcting following Bud Selig. But let's be frank. Baseball is making about $4 billion, $5 billion per season. Are they really hurting financially? No. Have they lost their core fans? No. Are they gaining new fans? Maybe not as much as they like to, but baseball is never going to depend on the TV numbers that the NBA needs to generate, the TV numbers that the NFL needs to generate. And I'm just sick of baseball getting a bad eye in a lot of different national media outlets here. I mean, look, they're players, they go out and play baseball. Maybe you don't hear about all these side stories as much because it's not like the NFL. You don't have a player every single week. Domestic abuse, child abuse, something different literally every single week in the NFL. Baseball is as clean as it's ever been. Yes, you're going to have guys that still think they can beat the system. Yes, you're going to have Chris Davis and guys like that getting suspended for amphetamine use, for performance-enhancing drug use. You're always going to have that. But if that is the worst thing you have in baseball, I don't think the sport's in a bad place. Maybe it's not as sexy with the storylines right now because the game is just about the game. And if the mainstream doesn't like it, so be it. I think the fans love where the game's at right now. I definitely like where it's at right now. I think that the game is at its purest state. Pitching has finally taken a hold. And, obviously there's going to be a time where you're going to need those young hitters to come out and bash 40 home runs to try and balance it out. But baseball goes in spurts. It goes in cycles like every single sport does. Right now it's in a pitching cycle. I won't be surprised in 15 years if team ERAs are back at 440 again. There's guys hitting 46 home runs. It's just the way the game is, and it's just going to stay like that for now, as you could say that they're hitting, I don't know if you would call it a dead ball era, but definitely an era that strongly favors the pitchers. So when you read these reports, baseball is dying. Baseball may not be as hot as it was in the mid-2000s, may not be as hot as it was at the end of the 90s, but let's also remember, they're putting up record attendance numbers during these eras, and it was going to drop eventually. Now it's their duty to try and figure out how to connect to the young audience, how to get the youth participation back up. And the thing about baseball is that even if youth participation drops in certain regions in America, they have the whole world to recruit from. The NFL, they're going to have a strong backlash over the next few years over what's going on with their abuse. It's, you know, 45% of their fan base are women. Not a good selling point right now for the NFL. There's already numbers out there showing the youth droppage in America playing football. And if it drops in the NFL, they don't exactly recruit from all over the world. I'm telling you, baseball may not be the kingpin right now, but don't sit there and think baseball is going to be the NHL in less than 10 years. Anyone that leads you to believe that, go ahead and look at the revenue the MLB is making. Makes more than the NBA, as good as their TV ratings are. MLB in a very good state. It'll continue to be in a very good state. Do not believe the nonsense you hear. Andy Pondillo wrapping up for ClimbingTallisHill.com, blasting off your leading source for Astros news, rumors, notes, and much more. We'll be back again next week as the season winds down. Happy baseball, everybody.